We're going. What's up? We're back.
Welcome back, guys, to Iron Oath Weekly.
That was our name of our podcast. That's crazy.
It's been a minute. We've taken a little hiatus.
Professional sabbatical
to work on...
Nothing. We were just traveling. Okay. We went to Croatia.
We did go to Croatia. That was amazing. But we are here to answer some fitness questions, a little Q&A to start the season back up.
I guess since we have been gone, we have both trained a lot more people than we had previously.
Yes. Lots of clients. Online clients, in-person clients.
Different ages, different abilities,
yep. Different surgeries.
Some professional athletes.
Yeah, male, no. Female. Hey, nope. One of my clients, she'll get there.
Okay, well, no actual professional athletes.
Yeah, no professional athletes. But, you know, you never know. So we'll see. But, yeah, we're going to answer some of the questions that we've gotten a lot of for the past couple of months. And a lot of them are pretty basic questions, and that's okay. I feel like it's never bad to hear a good thing more than once, you know?
There's a reason that they keep coming up.
Yeah.
And that's the point of us saying we've trained a lot of different abilities, a lot of different age groups. If these questions are coming up across, you know, men, women, old, young, fit, not fit.
Yeah.
There's a reason. So we want to help you guys. We want to answer.
So let's start out with the first one, shall we?
Yes.
Okay, so how many days per week should I train to see results? Ryan, what do you think?
It's very...
I think of the average person, because you're going to go into a deep, dark hole right now, and I know it. Think of the average person.
I always say minimum 3.
Yeah, I was going to say 3, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can do...
And those are lifting days. When how many days per week should you train? That means lifting weights.
Lifting weights, you can combine it with some sort of like cardio if you really want to get like efficient in quotes.
Sure.
But if we're talking specifically lifting and you're trying to build muscle, lose fat, which almost everybody is trying to do that, then yeah, 3. Because the problem, yes, you can get gains with 2 or 1. And there's studies proving this where Lauren doesn't want me to go down holes. So we're going to stay on the surface. But the problem I see when I have clients who want to do 2 days is if you're trying to actually build muscle, like after your beginner stage, right? Which most people that come to us are not like new, right? I'd say majority. If you're after that stage to get enough volume in 2 days, you're going to be at the gym for 2 hours.
Yeah.
If you want to like optimize, not even optimize, if you want to do it correctly and get enough
general
sets.
General population, not there for 2 hours.
No. And then what happens is you have to do full body each day.
Yeah.
And if you're going to wreck yourself, and then also you're going to get super sore, and then you have to turn around. It's just.
And like work the next day or go do a fun thing, activities the next day, whatever it is.
Well, and I think people try to convince themselves to do 2 days because they're like, well, I don't have time to go 3. But what ends up happening when you go only 2 days, you're spending probably more time in the gym than you would if you went 3.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I know it's sometimes hard to get to the gym, but.
I say 3 days of lifting, 2 days of cardio, and one of those will get pushed to the wayside.
Yeah.
Like plan for 5 and then life happens, you will be there 4 and you can see changes in 4. So like a lot of my clients, like the classes that we coach, like we coach lifting classes and then I also coach HIIT classes and I'll tell them like you need to prioritize weightlifting, like be in here 3 times a week and then go do the HIIT class 2 times a week.
Yeah.
If they're only doing classes.
And I think that's what's been really cool with, because I know there's always been these kind of classes, right? Like the VASA that we work at, they have a class called LIFT because it's LFT. It's not actually. So however you want to say it, but it's LIFT. So they have this class and it's basically a lifting class.
Yeah.
And it's so cool how many people have come in and like, oh, I've never touched a barbell. I've never touched a dumbbell.
And they be consistent in there.
They love it. And I think it's really cool because there's obviously a change coming. Whereas And I know it is mostly women, so you can speak more on this, where it used to be like, oh, I don't want to get bulky. I shouldn't lift weights. I should just do cardio.
I think that mindset is slowly changing.
It's peeling. Because think about what's the majority of your class makeup?
Middle-aged women.
Yeah. Literally same. Like there's maybe 2-3 guys per class.
Yeah.
And then there's 14 women.
Yeah.
And so I think that's awesome. That's exactly how it should be. And what's happening is there's a lot of research. There's a lot of podcasts that people are now, or like more famous people are getting on the news that are into this kind of like space.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot more general population are hearing like, oh, weight training and weightlifting is super important as you get older.
Yeah.
And that's what these people are doing.
It's true.
So yeah, 3 days a week, minimum. I would say maximum 6. You can do 7 if you want, but good luck sustaining. Because it's all about
burnout.
It's all about sustaining. You want to do it consistently.
Yeah.
So.
Should I do cardio before or after lifting?
So technically, if you want to like be as optimal as possible.
Yeah, you would do it separately.
Separate session, like in the morning if you're going to lift at night. Now, as we just talked about, most of our clients are not going to be like, hey, oh, you need to go to the gym twice now, right?
Yeah.
Most people aren't going to do that.
That's what I was saying, like them having lifting days and them having cardio days.
Yeah, perfect. So then your cardio is completely different.
Yeah, it's completely different.
Yeah.
Because you could have like the interference effect of if you do it before or after.
Yes.
And it's interfering for different reasons. So if you do it before, it's going to interfere with your ability to lift.
Yep.
You know, you're more likely to get injured that way as well. And then if you do it afterwards, then you have an interference effect of that muscle that you just tore being built back properly. So
yeah, basically the muscle protein synthesis is slightly affected. But in my opinion, if you had to choose, and you can't choose to do it separate all the time because that's just not everybody has that time.
Yeah.
I would do it after because that's a good cool down. It's also, you're not going to like squeeze out 100% of the benefits of your workout. But at the same time, so many people do that and they're still ripped and jacked. And if you're not like, I need every ounce of possible muscle mass, but you still want to get the cardio, I'll do it after.
Yeah, I agree. Because
before
you do it after.
You'd convince yourself, and at least in my opinion, doing it before, it's if you did it, saying you went kind of hard, it's easier to convince yourself, well, I don't want to lift anymore, right?
Yeah.
And I'd rather have people not convince themselves to do cardio than to lift, personally.
Yeah, like with my glute lab girls, we do cardio for like literally 2 or 3 minutes for our warm up, and that's it.
See, and that's
just
not
to like
even
get
like,
your blood flowing.
Yeah, that's just a warm up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yep. So do it separate, ideally, or after or before. That's the tier list. 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. What are the best apps for tracking macros? For the longest time, I used MyFitnessPal. And I've switched.
Mm.
I've recently switched. Yeah.
What's it called?
Mm-hmm. It's called Lose It. One of my clients told me about it because they like it. And I was like, okay, well, if you're using it, like I should kind of know how this app works, if other clients are going to use it or if I can recommend it. Yeah, I like it way better. There's a bunch of little pictures that pop Ooh. Up. Yeah. So I like the little emojis that come with everything you put in. Like if you put in that you ate fish, there's just a little fish emoji that pops.
Hey. Hey, that's fun. Yeah, I've been looking at it when Lauren's been doing it. It looks good. I've used MyFitnessPal too forever. So.
Years and years and years of using MyFitnessPal. And I do think MyFitnessPal has its perks. One being, I think it's easier to track macros on MyFitnessPal. You can definitely find your macros on Lose It. But the one thing that I like about Lose It is it shows you how much you've gone over your calories for the week. And then it also shows you patterns in your eating. So it's like, oh, on days that you eat almonds, you stick to your macros. Or on days that you, have Ninja Creamies, you go over your macros.
And actually, I didn't know that. That is super important. And that is, if any of you guys are familiar, show them the Whoop. Show the other way. Yep. Whoop. We've been wearing these for a while. And that's always the thing that I talk about is, who cares, like all the things, right? It's cool that it tracks a million different metrics and you can look at all the graphs. That's cool. But unless you know how to like utilize it, it's for most people, it doesn't matter. But that, exactly like that. Yeah, almonds are healthy, like cool. But then it's like, hey, when you eat almonds, you don't overeat. Or same with the Whoop. It gives you insights. It's like when you do blank, you sleep this much better or you sleep this much worse.
Yeah.
That's what people need, because obviously, you know, alcohol is bad and you can see, but when Whoop's like, hey, it's negative 15% recovery, you're like, damn, that's really bad. Or like, yeah, when I eat a Ninja Creamy, that makes me go over my calories 20% or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's like the most accurate. Like, I know the reason why I went over my calories, and
sure,
it's not because the Ninja Creamy is calorically dense kind of thing.
But it's like there, but, and it's giving you insights.
Yeah, yeah. Actionable. I like that. I like that.
And so is the price comparable? Because you're doing the premium?
Yes, the price is, I think, pretty basically the same.
Same, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, both, you can, I've done MyFitnessPal free for like 15 years now. It's fine. You don't get the scanning and things like this, but it still works free. So I'd say those two, Lose It or MyFitnessPal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What question do you want to do next?
Where are we? What is the benefit of wearing a weight belt? Then I'm going to answer
some heavy weight.
So yeah, basically the weight belt is, so basically you have a anatomical weight belt. Okay. Without
your
getting
abs.
Yeah. There's like a specific muscle that goes from your belly button, wraps around into your vertebrae to your back, right? It's called transversus abdominis. When you wear a weight belt, and what we're talking about is either like the Velcro weight belts that you put around right around your belly button, your abdomen, or you'll see people with like the lever, or more traditionally, they have like the little spokes. It's like a normal belt, right?
Yeah.
You have like the little loop with the prong. So any of those, it's all the kind of the same thing. Essentially, what you're trying to do is reinforce a muscle that's already there that should be strong. And this is why I see people get wrong a lot, is they will make up for lack of strength in their transversus abdominis by putting on a weight belt.
Yeah.
That's not right. You should be adequately strong, and then you should only use a weight belt to supplement your already strong core, essentially.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to use it, because what people will do when they do that is they'll tighten it super, super hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not at all what you want to do. You actually want to keep it not loose, but you want to be able to breathe into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because your that muscle and like bracing down when you're doing heavy squat, deadlift, I guess you could use it for a bench if you're going really heavy, not necessary. So usually it's squat, deadlift, or Olympic weightlifting for most people.
I've never used it for Olympic weightlifting.
Yeah, if you're going like
it
super heavy.
It feels so clunky to do it.
Yeah, I mean, in like a CrossFit like scenario, you probably wouldn't. But like you'll see the Olympic weightlifters, they'll wear one for sure. Because like you want
that
extra.
Yeah, I've only used it for deadlifts and barbell squats.
Yeah. And there is science, I don't remember the exact percentage. It does give you like actually a pretty good boost. I think it's like 10 to 15% of your weight that when you use it properly. So without getting too crazy, maybe we'll post a video later this week on our Instagram of just showing you quickly how to do it. You want it to be like tight enough where you couldn't stick your hand in between your abdomen and the belt.
I tighten the crap out of my weight belt.
Yeah, so that's not correct. So what we'll do actually is make a video, and Lauren will show you how she's been doing it, and then I will correct her.
Hey, I have hit two PRs this week.
Okay, well, they could have
been. On my deadlift and my barbell back squat, so.
And your military press, 3.
Yeah, but not, I didn't use a belt for that.
No.
I used a belt for the two
okay,
lower ones.
So.
But I will say I only use that belt when I start going super heavy.
Yeah.
Like I do not warm up with a belt. I do not normally squat with a belt.
Yeah.
I only use a belt when it is very, very, very heavy weight. And like,
and that's
I might bail it.
Exactly. That's what you should do. I'd say like as a very rough rule, and this would be anyone who's serious enough to even know this number, it's like 90% plus of your one rep max weight. That's when you start wearing a belt.
Yeah.
Every other set and warming up, yeah, keep it off. Get the actual muscles that you need to breathe and get that brace. But yeah, we'll make a video because I think a lot of people are confused about that. And I think people are
confused. I used to be confused about weight belts and I like didn't know when or what or how to use them.
And I think generally, like put the weight belt aside, I think people are also, they don't know how to brace properly. Because people, it's like, the traditional.
Some people don't know how to breathe properly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where I'm like, sweetie, breathe.
Yeah. Because it's always the traditional like, oh, well, like if I was going to punch you in the stomach. And that's not correct. Like, yes, if you were going to punch me right now, I would brace my abs. But I wouldn't like breathe in, right? Like that doesn't make sense unless I got scared. Like you popped out of the corner and you were going to punch me. Now that's a better example. So we could go through that because that is important. And if you want to stay in the gym longer and actually lift heavy, you do need to know how to brace properly.
I feel like, yeah, if we talked about belts and bracing and also when to breathe and how to breathe.
Yes.
Have like a little whole tiny podcast about that.
Breathe.
Yeah. Okay. How often should I try and PR, Ryan?
That's tough. I feel like that's so dependent on individuals and their training history and injury history. I don't know. It's like that's such a hard question. I would say not that often. Just vaguely, maybe like every, I mean, it depends on like what you're trying to do. Like if you're like, hey, Ryan, how often should I one rep max my deadlift? Every 4 weeks? Absolutely. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think that's, unless you're in the beginner stages, you're going to PR every workout though. If you're like just starting, mm-hmm. you're going to add 5 pounds to your deadlift every workout.
Mm-hmm.
So that's different. But if you're like an advanced lifter, I don't know. It just depends. Like if you're into strength,
I think
powerlifting, like so many factors.
For me, I mean, I definitely focus on hypertrophy and bodybuilding, but I also do keep track of my strength for sure. But for me, like every 8 weeks, I see a difference.
Yeah. And that's
like for my one rep max.
That's a good.
And I feel like that's a good enough time to see a 5 pound difference in a one rep max.
That's a good
length.
Or a
10 pound difference or a 25 pound difference.
Oh, sure.
Recently.
And if she wore the weight belt correctly, who knows how much more.
Oh, right. Okay.
But I do want to shift the mindset here a little because I do think a lot of people when they hear PR, they think one rep. Right? Like one rep all out, let's go.
That's how I think about PRs. Like a 5 rep max PR. Meh.
Yeah. So but here's the mindset shift is.
Because nobody asks that. How much can you,
but
5 rep max.
But let's also be honest. How many people actually ask you, what's your 1 rep max? Like not that many.
I do have clients ask me, what weight do you do on this? Like, what's your max weight to do on this? I think they just because they find it interesting.
Yeah.
I get that a lot from my clients.
Really?
Like, when I have them pushing hard weight, they'll turn to me and be like, what can you do? I don't know. I think they're just interested in what I am doing and how I train. Because they'll a lot of the times, like, they'll see me in the gym training. And I train with some of my clients, too. Like, yeah. I work out with them.
Yeah.
So,
ladies and gentlemen, I don't think this is wrong because I've trained. So Lauren trains mostly women, right? Like 90%.
Hey, me and old man Bob.
Okay. So one.
Yes.
So 99% women and then Bob. So, and for me, at least at the fitness, when I worked at whatever, this training facility, basically PT facility, I was like half and half. Mm-hmm. I'd say it was half and half. But not once did a guy ask me, oh, dude, like how much can you bench? So I think it's a girl thing.
I ask people that a lot.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's a girl thing. Like, I don't think a guy that I'm training.
Oh, but I never ask girls. I only ask guys.
You only ask guys how
much?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think I'm trying to think the last girl. I mean, one of my clients I train with, I'll ask her and be like, oh, what'd you do 8 weeks ago? But that's because we trained together. So
you're just going around polling guys. Hey, dude. How much do you bench? And they're like,
I did do that with, okay, there is a gentleman that I see every Wednesday who's always in the gym and comes up to the girls that I train with. And he pushes heavy weight. And I was genuinely curious. I was like, how much can you deadlift? Because he had plates on there. Uh-huh. So I was just curious. And I think that was like a week ago where I was like, is that your one rep max? And I looked and he's like, no, that's my warm up. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
So what did he say?
I don't remember. Hmm. Yeah, I just remember his big number. I was like, oh, wow, you strong. So,
you know, it'd be interesting because there's always when you do a intake form like in medicine.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, how many drinks do you have per week? And they're like, two. And you were taught, like literally taught to multiply by three. Like, oh, okay, so that's six.
That's kind of crazy.
I don't know if it's like that. It'd be the opposite, obviously, because you can't be like, oh, yeah, I deadlift 550. You're like, oh, damn, times three, so that's 1,500 pounds. It'd be like, you know, maybe they're.
Yeah. Somebody asked me today what my one rep max was for squats. I said 250, and then I actually looked at it. I was like, it's 220. So
Okay.
I genuinely thought it was 250. I did. And then I looked at what I wrote down. I was like, oh, just kidding. I don't know where I got that number from. But then he came back over. He's like, oh, did you hit above 250? And I was like, well, no, I PR'd, but I lied to you earlier. So, yeah.
Okay. But the point is, besides all that, the mind shift is the mindset shift. If you're an advanced lifter, you can't PR every 8 weeks. That's impossible. You will run out of strength. You will run out. Yes, you will. 100%. Like, whoever this guy is, there's no way. What, say his max is 615. If he's in the advanced stage, which obviously he would be if he can deadlift 600 plus pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Every 8 weeks, he's not adding 5 pounds. That's,
yeah,
because think about, they would never stop, right?
Yeah.
So the point is eventually it's going to suck. And most gyms don't even have like half pounds. Because some people that are really into it do like kilograms. They'll like a half kilogram, right? Or like, wow. Yeah. So you're like, oh, dude, I added a pound over the next, it's not 8 weeks. It's like 6 months. Like I added a pound to my bench, right? Or whatever, which is lame. Most people don't care about that.
Yeah.
So then what you can do, obviously, yeah, one rep max. There's three rep max, like you were saying. Yeah, I know it's lame. What I've been doing recently, shout out Brett Contreras, glute guy. I like his mindset of like, screw any like 3 to 5. Like, why don't you do hypertrophy PRs basically? So each workout, the previous workout, let's say I did barbell bench at a certain weight and I did 10 reps, okay? Or let's do 9 because that's more fun because it's like random. It's like, okay, then I try to do one more. Because you, if you're good with loading your weight, that 9 reps for me in my program, it should be like one RIR, right? Mm-hmm. So it should be pretty close to failure. So then each week I know I'm getting stronger. So I'll do 10 and then the next week I should be able to do 11 mm-hmm. and then 12. And that's fun. And that's a PR technically, yeah. Right? So just a different way to think about it.
That's true.
Keeps the mind going.
Okay. How much protein should I eat? I need to stop eating so much protein.
So in recent conversations, actually, I feel like I don't even want to say what everybody says. Because it's, for most people, it's too much. Because everybody's like, oh, it's super easy, man. Just 1 gram per pound of body weight.
Yeah.
That is easy to remember. No one will forget that. But that's too much for most people. Yeah. It really is. So, and also, especially men, and even some women, it's like, they're like, holy shit, I weigh, for a girl, okay, like maybe 120 pounds. That's still a decent amount of protein for some people, not for you. And then like most guys on average are like 160 to like 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Even 160 grams per day is a lot unless you're like really dialed.
Yeah.
So, and this is where it's just, it sucks because it's way harder to remember. But basically you have to do like the 1.2 to 1.6 grams per kilogram. Mm-hmm. So you have to divide your weight by 2.2 and then you get this number. And then if you want to be on the, you just want to be in that range. So you could find the range, you times your weight in kilograms by 1.2. That'll give you the low number. And then by 1.6.
Well, can't you just do it, if you want to keep your weight in pounds, do 0.8, right?
I don't see that, so I don't know.
To 1.2.
It could be
per
that.
Per pound of body weight.
Yeah, I'd have to do all the math. But I just know the research they do in kilograms. Mm. So I know it's one. It's either 1.2 or 1.3 to 1.6, like the high end. Mm. The point is, then you could like write that on your fridge or something. Keep it in your phone. You know, at least you're in that range. Because it's super hard. Like every day, it'd be like, 180. I'm 180 pounds. I'll get 180. And then when you fall short, you feel like you failed.
Yeah.
That's not true. Well, like, I think you're in the range.
Like Gabrielle Lyon said, it's not 1 pound per 1 gram per pound of body weight. It's like 1 gram per ideal.
Well, isn't it? Well, I think there's also like the per like fat free mass kind of thing. Like not your fat. And then that gets even more convoluted because then you have to know your body fat percentage.
Yeah.
So that's super
hard.
But
I feel like if you think of it of ideal weight.
Yeah, that's
like
fine.
Say I have a client that's like 155 pounds and she is overweight, but she wants to be around 130, then like, okay, then it's kind of 1 gram per pound of ideal body weight. But
yeah, you could do that too. Yep. The hard part with that is some of the research, like we went to in that sports conference.
Austin, yeah.
And remember Eric Helms, who I had a dream about last night, but that's not important. But
we'll talk about that later.
But his whole thing was, remember, he showed that when you are in a caloric deficit, actually more protein is generally better.
Yeah.
Like that was kind of the point. So that's what's hard when it's like, okay, your ideal weight is less than the weight you want to be. You should almost sometimes be eating more protein. So I don't know. There's so many ways.
But say you have a person that's 200 pounds and they are 5'2". I mean, they are massively overweight, right? Like, I don't know.
It's tough. I think the range is the best way to go about it, because then you could either end up with the range that's your ideal weight. It's like lower.
Yeah.
Or you're eating the same amount as your weight, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And if you're really concerned,
I think most people just need to eat above 100. Eat above 100 for that. I feel like that's a very general thing. Most everybody that I know weighs more than 100 pounds. So eat above 100, and I feel like you will at least be okay to like feel your muscles.
I would say most people just need to eat more protein. Generally. Mm-hmm. Like if you think you're not eating enough, you're not. Like
that's true.
Just eat more clean protein.
Clean protein. Clean, lean protein, please.
Okay. How many? Okay, we got that one. Cardio. Got it. PR. Nailed it. Wearing a weight belt. Nailed it. Apps to track.
We talked about that. How much protein? We talked about that. Should I take creatine, Ryan?
Yes.
Yeah. I had a client the other day, and she was like, my doctor told me not to. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. I was like, why did they tell you not to? And she couldn't remember the reasoning. So she's going to go back and see her doctor again in a couple weeks. And I was like, yeah, you should definitely ask, because I'm genuinely very curious. I've never heard anybody be told not to take it. So
here's the thing. There, at least as of recently, and there could be, creatine research is like blowing up right now. So don't like completely take this as fact. But from my knowledge, the only real thing that would stop you, and that's why I actually asked you, is kidney stuff. It's like if you have, but, and here's the other thing. And I remember I had a couple doctors when I was also in med school, which is hilarious, that I don't think they got confused, but who knows, right? It's being a doctor is hard. Like they might, whatever.
They don't sleep much.
But there's something in your kidney panel that will come up as creatinine. And some, I've just been told like, oh, are you taking creatine? And I don't think they think it's the same, right? Obviously, they are a trained physician. But there is some line of thinking that that was like old school of like, oh, you're damaging your kidneys with creatine. But really, a certain amount of muscle mass, because you've had it as well. You've had high creatinine. Mm-hmm. I've always had high creatinine. What your doctor should do, if you have a good doctor, is be like, okay, this is out of range, but look at the patient. All right, you're generally above, over muscled, right? In a good way. Let's track it though. It's not just like, oh, yep, you're good, man. It's like, let's do follow-up kidney tests and make sure nothing's wrong. Because creatinine could be a sign of kidney disorder. But to my knowledge, that's like the only thing that you shouldn't take creatine for is if you actually have kidney disorder.
Yeah. And I didn't try to override her doctor by any means anything. Like, I'm not a medical professional, but I was just like, I'm very interested into why. So maybe she'll come back and be like, that's the reason why. I'd be like, all right, yep, don't do that then. Yeah. You know?
She might have low glomerular filtration rate. Yeah, that sounds fancy. But everyone should take creatine. The research right now is insane. People are popping off about it for everybody. Doesn't matter if you lift, doesn't matter if you're like a kid, adult, benefits.
Yeah, I was just about to say the cognitive benefits of it. So.
We'll answer the question and end it with this. Is it's the most, especially now, the most researched sports supplement on the market. If you buy creatine, right? Just that's all you want. You don't want the HCL creatine. You don't want micronized creatine. You just need creatine monohydrate. That's the only ingredient you need.
Unflavored.
Don't get the gummies. None of that.
No, you don't need the sugar.
But it's like, first of all, you're eating gelatin and crap every day because you should take creatine every day. Also, they've done studies where the way they roll those and get the ingredients on the gummies, it's like one might have a ton, one might have none. It's a whole thing. If you guys want the best, in my opinion, and it's not just because we're sponsored, but Thorne has, I believe, the best because they
15%
are
15% off
GMP. There's safe for sport, NSF safe for sport. So there's no tampering because a lot of supplements, unfortunately, they're tampered. It's a whole other thing. There's a whole research paper about adulteration in supplements, and you don't want that stuff. Some of you might like, oh, dude, I'm just getting some free steroids with my pre-workouts. Like, all right, cool. If you really don't care about your health, but you should. So yeah, we have a discount code, 15% off every order if you sign up.
Woo.
No biggie. All the supplements.
So we'll transition over to some mindset stuff. What do I do if I mess up my diet, Ryan? What if I am really hungry and I eat 4 massive pancakes for dinner?
So what you do in that situation is panic. And then the next day, you just give up because you've messed up so far.
Wow.
You've gone so off the rails.
You're really telling the people
yeah.
some solid advice here, Ryan.
No, and here's really the trajectory, the arc, as kids would say. So you eat your pancakes.
Okay.
And then you go into a deep slide of getting off your diet. And then you get really big. And you're documenting all this on Instagram.
Okay.
That's the important part. You have to document all
of it. Calling it a bulk.
You're calling it a bulk, sure. But you're crying a lot. It's like really emotional. And then you have this amazing comeback arc where you get right back to where you were. Wow. Super lean, and you give people sick advice of like, this is what happens when you mess up your diet. It's like, you can come back.
Yeah.
And people are, you know, inspired.
Uh-huh.
And then they buy your book. Because that whole time you had a book hidden and you're ready to just sell.
Yeah.
But you need
documenting that journey. Okay. Fair enough.
Unless you have a book, don't eat four pancakes is the point.
Are you writing a book?
No. Sometimes my pancakes fit inside my macros. They're the Kodiak cakes. Everyone
right.
knows they're amazing.
Yeah.
No, you're going to mess up. Everyone's going to mess up. It's impossible not to. Mm-hmm. There's like no way. Yeah, you could go a year and be like perfect. And then a year and one day you could mess up. Mm-hmm. But what we always talk about is like you want to be consistently. Wait. Yes.
Yeah, you're on the right track.
Consistent.
Consistently inconsistent.
Consistently inconsistent. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so like
say.
An example
right.
of being consistently inconsistent is like you are.
Wait, but then we're saying you want to be consistently not consistent. See, that's not what we say. We say something better.
No.
It is
consistently inconsistent. So if you are consistently inconsistent with your workouts, like, is it the best absolute way to do it? No. But that's okay, because at least you're moving forward. So same thing with like food, right? So like if you are on it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then you have a cheat meal on Saturday, and then you know, have a dinner on Sunday, whatever it is, right? And it's not crazy, but it's kind of inconsistent on the weekends, which I feel like is typical for most people. But then you're back to it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Like, you are being consistent throughout the week. And like, yeah, those 2 days are not optimal for where you want to be, but that's like also life. And same thing with your workout. Like if you're running and then just randomly going to the gym on a Tuesday to hit legs, but you kind of do that every week of just like you run here and there where you can, and then you hit legs, and maybe it's not the most organized thing, but at least you're consistently doing it for every week. All right, things are moving forward.
Yeah, I would say another way to say that is you're going to mess up and it's okay. You shouldn't, because I think people will mess up and they're like, oh, I'm screwed. Like, I'm off my diet.
It's like the black and white mindset thinking, it's just the worst.
Yeah. Well, because think about it, it's like a completely different example, but I guarantee this happens. People do like the dry January and say you make it like 20 days and then you have a drink and you're like, well, all right, the rest of January, I don't have to do it anymore. I think that's how people feel like with their diet, which is like, I messed up. All right, screw it. Because we've done that. Like if you're tracking calories during the day and then you eat something you shouldn't have and you're like, I can't really track this. It's way easier the rest of the day to just be like, well,
I couldn't track this one meal, so I'm not going to track anything the rest of the day.
And you can't have that mindset. You have to, basically, you have to plan for being inconsistent. You have to plan to fail.
Yeah.
But you want to be.
I made a post about that. Today.
There we go.
So how do you get better? You fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like you literally have to plan to fail. But I would also say most
people. You don't
want
to set yourself up for failure.
No, but you're going to fail.
Yeah.
So you want to know.
And it's okay when you do.
Yeah. You want to know that you're going to, and then you're going to have action plans to come back from it.
Yeah.
More or less.
When this happens, I'll do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of things is like people going out to eat.
Yeah.
It is so hard to track going out to eat.
Yeah, it's almost,
right?
Yeah,
so
it's
like
insane.
I tell my clients, if you are going to a restaurant, you need to eyeball it and then overestimate everything. Like if you had a handful of fries and MyFitnessPal is saying one cup of French fries is, you know, 110 calories, then you're going to put that you had two cups. Like you need to overestimate everything with restaurants. It is designed to be fatty and salty and everything to taste good.
Oil, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. And that stuff, oil especially, adds up so much. So
Yeah, you basically just need to, and that's the problem with like diets, because training plans is different. It's like a training plan, like it has a definitive end, and it should, because you should change stuff, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever. But your diet, which I don't like that that's still kind of a thing that people say, but like you shouldn't have like a diet you're doing for 30 days, because immediately what you're telling yourself is that after 30 days, I'm off my diet, which yeah. is really bad, because then you're okay. Well, what's your plan after that? So I always like, I heard a long time ago, it's you should eat whatever your in quotes diet is. It's just the stuff you eat every day. You should be able to eat that the rest of your life, more or less. Like you're going to change things, of course, mm-hmm. but it shouldn't like, okay, for us, for me specifically, Chobani, I've been eating since like 2012, 13
it's
years,
a staple.
Pretty much every staple. Single day.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's healthy. It's really good protein. It has cultures, right? It has probiotics and stuff like this. So that's something I can eat the rest of my life, literally.
Yeah.
Milk, same thing.
It's
bread,
part of your diet.
Same thing. And yeah, I'll change in things here and there. And that's, you have to, or you get so bored. But you can't be like, oh, I'm going to do this like super crazy.
Most
like,
people eat the same 50 foods
yeah.
every week.
Yeah. Like, but like people will do like keto for 30 days. And it's like, okay, cool.
Remember when I tried keto for like three?
Three, yeah.
Just get a massive headache.
And you lose, let's say you even lose 5 pounds a month. But if you don't have a plan after that, and if you're like, dude, keto sucked, guess what? You're not going to do keto anymore, yeah. and you're going to put 5 pounds back on.
Yeah, it's true.
So.
All right, Ryan. Do I need rest days?
Absolutely.
How yeah. many?
It depends on how many times you're training. I mean, that's another really hard factor. Because some people recover better. It depends on how much volume you're doing.
Women
how much...
typically recover better and faster.
What? Yes, that is true. Mm-hmm. So they can do higher volume.
So lift heavy, ladies.
I mean, it depends. I think mostly depends on actually lifestyle factors around your lifting. Like, are you eating enough? Are you sleeping enough?
Yeah.
How much stress do you have?
Yeah.
If you have all, let's say you're sleeping bad, eating bad. Well, eating bad
how
might actually help.
How hydrated you are.
Hydration.
Cough, cough, client, you know who you are.
If you're not hydrated, if you're not sleeping good, and you're super stressed, you're not going to recover as good. So you need more rest days,
yeah.
inevitably. If you're sleeping really good every night, you know your diet's on point, and you don't have very much stress outside of the gym, I mean, you might need one rest day. Like people definitely, it's just really hard to sustain 6 days a week. Because yeah. that is like, think about if you do anything fun on the weekend, nope. Like you can't. Because yeah. now you can't go camping or something. You can't go on a vacation on the weekend, have a long weekend skiing or something, because you're supposed to train. Mm-hmm. And if you're like me and you're a freak, then you feel guilty when you're like, oh, fuck, I should have been training today.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's why five and under is a sweet spot.
And I feel like a lot of people who are very diligent about their training, if they don't go train, yeah, they feel
you
this
feel bad.
Guilt. But if you plan to not do anything that day, which it's was nice. Hard for me for a little bit of just like, I just felt like I had to be at the gym every single day for a long time, especially when I was in prep. And yeah, there was massive guilt. Like, oh, I can always be doing something. I could always be doing cardio. I could always be lifting.
Yeah.
And, but that's why it's important to plan to like, I call it staring at a wall. You know, have your stare at a wall time, and where you just kind of, you plan to do nothing, and then you can do whatever you want with that time.
Yeah, and this goes back to our earlier question, how many days per week should I train? That's why 3 to 5 is perfect in my mind, because 5, you do Monday through Friday, and you have the weekend, perfect. Or you could, you know, if you, and that's what's nice. It doesn't have to be so fixed. Like if that weekend you didn't have anything planned, you could do Monday, Tuesday, rest day Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
And then obviously you go 4, you could do like Monday, Tuesday, off day, Wednesday, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
That's super chill, mm-hmm. right? And then 3 would be like Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah.
Or you could do Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and then have a long weekend. I think leaving the weekend for yourself, unless you need to train on the weekend in terms of time and availability and all that stuff,
yeah.
I think that is really nice mentally for rest days. It's like, yeah. okay, the weekend, the mm-hmm. rest, right? So, okay, do you need to bulk to gain muscle?
Nope.
Yeah, not technically.
Yeah.
This could get very...
Well, I think when people think of bulk of like, oh, I'm going to put on 20, 30 pounds.
Don't do that.
And...
Please don't do that. You will regret
Bodybuilders
that.
Do that, though.
I know, they used to.
Yeah, I think it's less so now.
Yeah, I'm sure some of them still do. But obviously, you have to remember that that's, first of all, their job. And second of all, with sports supplements, it doesn't matter as much.
Yeah.
Special sports supplements. Because you will gain a ton of weight, but you have the metabolism of like a... jacked up bunny rabbit or something, and you can just burn it all off and get super lean.
Well, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I was listening today, and I already knew this before I was listening to it, but it's just like, if you're bulking and you're accumulating more and more fat cells, like fat cells can duplicate, but they can never go away. They can get bigger and they can get smaller, or you can suck them out, but like they will be in your body.
Yes.
So if you get super fluffy and fuzzy, you know, well, I don't know the fuzzy part, but if you just get big, you know, you there's kind of no going back. Those cells will always be there. You can shrink them, but they'll always be there.
Yeah. And this is anecdotal, but I really trust these two guys. It's another podcast I listen to, and they're both PhDs. They both had an anecdote of like, yeah, they're older than me, right? So they grew up in that time of like, you have to dirty bulk, like, yeah, 20 pounds, bro. And they both said since they had done that, like, this was, you know, they don't do this anymore. And one of them's a professional bodybuilder, a natural professional bodybuilder, which matters. They said that after they did that, like, you know, handful of times, mm-hmm, they noticed, like, yeah, they kept more fat each time they did it.
Yeah.
Because exactly what Lauren's saying, when you have to store so much fat, it's unfortunate because a lot of people, and this, it, you know, we could have had this be a question, but of course, like the spot reducing fat, or like not even that specific thing. Oh yeah,
we should have put that on there because, yeah, I get that all the time from my ladies, yeah, that answer, I want to reduce the fat around my
I get
abs.
That from guys, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, unfortunately the answer is no, you can't do that specifically. You can muscle more, you can muscle areas specifically, and that will like make it look less fatty.
Yeah.
But what sucks is for women and for men, we store fat in different spots, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of the guys that talk to me, like, I don't want moobs, right? Man boobies, right? And I know it's funny. Boobies. It sucks though, because that is something you're very self-conscious about, like wearing a t-shirt. You can like see the...
Yeah.
And this is just like the thing I wish I could just get in so many people's heads. That's exactly what you're saying. Once you get to a certain point, yes, you can always come back, but like you are not going to have...
It's not
what you
look
think,
the same.
You know, you're like, oh, I used to look like this in high school. I used to have like chiseled pecs. Well, unfortunately, if you effed your body up over that many years, like it sucks, but like you just won't unless you get surgery. Mm-hmm. So what I really wish I could just like pound in people's heads is like, you need to just try to preserve from when you were young and like just never get fat, obviously would be ideal.
Just but never like, get fat, people.
No, the point is like,
good day
for younger. If we have some younger listeners, build as much muscle as you can when you're young, because it's, yeah, so easy to maintain. So easy. And then when you have that much muscle, women and guys, the more your higher your metabolism is, the easier it is to not put on fat.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It is really crappy because you do feel bad. You're like, I wish I could help you more, but there's just not much you can do. And that's why you see some of those crazy weight loss trends, like Biggest Loser, any of those, like where they lose hundreds of pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, they're saggy. Like it sucks. And that will tighten over time a little bit, but like,
Just, you have to get surgery when your skin is that loose
and you get stretch
when
marks.
When your skin is that extended for that extent of time.
Yeah.
You know, if you're having a baby and it's 9 months, like,
come back a little bit.
Do come back a little bit,
came
but
back pretty good. So
her sushi abs,
But I guess the point is, and this is actually more recent research, is that it's almost better, and I would just say it is better, unless you're like really in, I don't know, if you're trying to be like a professional bodybuilder and you need like every single literal gram of tissue. If you're just trying to look really good, you know, year in and year out, maybe 5-ish pounds in flux. And really what you should try to do is like what they call gain-tain, where you're keeping the same weight, and it's not necessarily possible, but like some research is showing that it can be, is that it's better to like, it sounds lame, gain like a half pound and be like, all right, dude, this is not all muscle, but it's like a quarter pound of muscle and maybe a quarter pound of fat, and maybe do that every like 6 months. It's really hard to do that, but it's way better to go slow, because then you won't gain all that fat.
Yeah. And it's also like, say you gain, you know, 15 pounds of fat, and I'm just going to throw out a number, and we'll say 5 of that is muscle.
Okay.
But if you're burning off that 15 pounds and you're trying to get back to that weight, or if you're burning off like that 10 pounds of fat,
yeah,
then like, okay, you're going to keep, 3 pounds of muscle?
It's just, it's so hard.
Those are random numbers, but if you just put on slowly, you know, 10 pounds instead of the 15 pounds, and then you just kept that two. Yeah. It's just, it's so hard to burn fat and to be in a caloric deficit for that long. And so it's like, why put on extra pounds that you just have to eventually get off yourself and take weeks to do?
And I can promise almost everybody listening, it sounds cool to be like, oh, I'm going to bulk and then I'm going to cut and I'm going to look all good. Yeah, but you're not going to like yourself when you're bulking. You're just not.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to look good unless you have some insane genetics and you can, like, be a bulky 195 and still be, like, 10% body fat, which is insane. Most people can't do that. And especially, I think, women, too, is like...
Oh, I'm here to contest. I do not like being fluffy.
Yeah.
I hate it.
It's just... it's just how it works, you know, genetics. When you guys get... If you're trying to do bulk to put on more muscle, you just have less muscle, right? Yeah. Like that's just how it works. So you're going to cover up more of the muscle that you don't have, right? Unfortunately.
Are you saying that I'm not muscular?
No, I'm saying you are muscular, but even if I barely trained, I would just have more because that's just
Right? Because you're a male.
Because I'm a male and I'm taller, so I have more lean tissue just on my body.
Yeah.
So when I get fluffy, it's less.
Yeah.
I would have to get way more fluffy than you have to get fluffy.
That's why you can eat 4 pancakes then.
That's why I can eat pancakes.
So, yeah. I get food jealousy so bad with Ryan sometimes.
But the point is the holidays are coming up and like people do have that mindset because it's easy to be like, oh yeah, I'm just going to
winter
bulk.
Arc.
I'm going to bulk into the holidays and wear my big hoodies. That's fine, but you just got a lot of work for yourself.
I think it's easier for me to stay just, I don't know, better with my diet during the holidays and winter because I drink more tea and I find it so like satiating.
There you go.
To have tea. But anyways, okay, so let's do some rapid fire questions. Just yes, no, this or that. Answer some common myths.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So first one, fasted cardio or fed cardio, Ryan?
Either one. Whatever, if you can tolerate fasted, sure, it doesn't matter. If you want to do it fed, sure, doesn't matter. Whatever works
I'm
better.
I'm going to say, based on my expertise here and personal experience, is fed. Eat some freaking food. I've had people pass out in class, and it's very scary, and I don't like it, and it kind of ruins the class. I'm not going to lie. So just eat, and that won't happen.
Yeah, that's
so,
what I meant by tolerate.
Yeah. Yep.
You
yep,
will know.
Yep.
Better to be fed.
Squats or hip thrusts?
Four.
Just squats or hip thrusts.
Oh, you want to know my... Well, right now, I'm saying hip thrusts. It's a hip thrust season.
I'm going to say squats. There I did not build my booty on hip thrusts. I do not hip thrust, really. So this block is going to be different. I will be hip thrusting. But normally, it's very rare that I do that. I squat. That's what I do. Okay. Body weight scale or body measurements?
Say, for most people, body weight scale. But if you have access to do both. Because you'll know.
Yeah, I'm going to say body weight scale.
Yeah.
But I think the more touch points that you can have with measuring your progress, the better. So,
okay, real quickly, because I think we talked about this, should have been a question, maybe we forgot. It is very important if you're a beginner and you are tracking your weight diligently and you start seeing it go up and you're like, well, what? I'm supposed to be gaining muscle and losing fat. Because that's what will happen when you're a beginner in the gym, especially lifting weights, not cardio. That is normal because if you're building muscle, muscle weighs more than fat and you should be actually recomping by losing fat and building muscle at the same time. So you might see it go up, but don't freak out.
Yeah, that's true. Machines or free weights?
Both. All the time, both.
If you had to choose
one. If I had to choose one, I mean, free weights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the same. I'm both, but free weights... I just prefer free weights.
Because if you had to choose machines, you'd have to.
But for the general population,
all of them.
I'm going to say machines.
Sure.
For if you're a trained athlete, I'm going to say free weights.
You need both. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't need
There's
both.
There's a time and place.
Athletes,
I think.
You're going to need more free weight stuff. And if you're a bodybuilder, you need more machines.
Yeah.
Bodybuilder are like just, gym rat kind of vibes.
Cheat meals or refeed days?
So explain refeed days.
A refeed day is like a planned, this is how much more we are going to eat. A cheat meal is just like, go out to breakfast, have fun.
I like the planned one better, but I'd say you have to experiment and see which one messes your schedule up more. Because some people could like do a cheat meal and it's like, oh, I had sushi. And it's like, oh, that's not that bad. Or a cheat meal could be like, I went to snooze. I got a you know, three pancakes, Bloody Mary with bacon, like, yeah, okay, that's going to ruin the rest of your...
If you're a bodybuilder, refeed days. If you're just a regular person going to the gym and you have a coach and you're tracking, cheat meals. I feel like cheat meals are better for mental health. Refeed days have a specific purpose and are designed for a specific thing. Like, refeed days are normally on, like, leg days, like, where you need more calories, you need more carbs, stuff like that.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it for our Q&A. Send in any questions that you want us answered, or I'm just going to be collecting questions that clients ask me. So
yep.
Just slowly collecting. I will say that I'm starting a summer shredding program January 1st. It's going to be a 12-week program. And we're going to lose some weight come 2026. So if you want to sign up for that, November, it's a bit cheaper if you sign up earlier. So just a heads up on that. And anything else, Ryan?
Yeah, if you have not started weightlifting, do it.
Hit us up. We can be your coach.
No, just start right now.
Shameless plug.
Literally, it's as easy as getting home, doing 5 sets of 20 bodyweight squats, and then as many push-ups as you can do to failure. There you go. You started lifting.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Don't do sit-ups. That's a waste of time, in my opinion.
Okay, fair enough. Let's
like, if you really want to do sit-ups, sure. But if you're like gassed after your 5 times 20 of bodyweight squats, which you probably will be, then don't worry about sit-ups.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But just start, because literally every day you wait, inevitably what we just talked about earlier is like, it's just going to keep happening. You're
not getting any younger, humans. No,
you're not getting younger, and you're probably not getting skinnier if you're not weightlifting.
Yeah,
if you're not paying attention to your diet and you're not weightlifting. Because that's the beauty of weightlifting, is you don't have to pay as much attention.
Yeah.
Generally. You still should, and you probably will, because you're going to care more. But yeah, there's a little more laxity.
Yeah. I feel like these middle-aged women are
laxatives.
Okay.
Laxity.
But no, I do feel like the narrative is kind of changing, especially with middle-aged women. They're not afraid of the weights as much as they were, which I would love to see more of and continue to see grow.
Yeah, and you know? It says right here, listener challenge or takeaway. My challenge is, because I don't hear this as much anymore, but I think it's still a thing.
What?
My challenge has always been, and will always be until it happens, a girl who's told me, well, I'm scared to get bulky. Please attempt to get bulky. I will literally pay you $1,000 if you show me like a before and after, not lean and toned and like muscled, right?
Yeah.
Like bulky, like, wow, I grew massive freaking traps that touch my ears, and like my shoulders have grown like 3 inches. $1,000.
Yeah.
That's my listener challenge. No AI. No AI has to be legit.
All right.
Because it's just so hard. So lift weights, people.
Keep us posted.
Keep us posted. Yeah.
Over and out.